Dan Mandis in for Mary and Vince. All kinds of stuff to talk about on this Labor Day Monday, including the president. Now it appears at some point tomorrow he will announce his intentions, at least on the surface, to end DACA. I want to welcome on in to Mornings on the Mall Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation. Hans, always appreciate having you on, and let's talk about this because we're getting more details now on what exactly it is that President Trump wants to do with these 800,000 or so Dreamers. Both parties are very upset, of course, but it looks like the president is going to, at least his stated intention, to end DACA, but it appears that he's giving Congress 6 months to act. What can Congress do?
Well, if members of Congress have been criticizing the president, think this is a good idea, well, then they should pass legislation to do it. And it's a good thing the president's ending this. Why? It doesn't matter from the president's standpoint whether you think this is a good policy or the bad policy. The point is that the president doesn't have the power under federal immigration law to provide what in essence was amnesty. Now, not just amnesty, but also access to all kinds of government benefits like Social Security, work permits, etc. We know, Dan, that the president doesn't have that power because, remember, when Obama tried to put in a second program like this, the DAPA program, remember, the states went to court, sued, and the program was stopped because the federal court said this is beyond the power of the president. So this is not up to him to do. If Congress thinks it's a good idea, Congress has to do it.
So what's the difference, Hans, between the DAPA program and the DACA program? Because it seems like they're, I'm not going to say they're necessarily one and the same. It's different policies. But if they were able to stop the DAPA program, why couldn't they stop the DACA program?
Well, they could have. The states, for whatever reasons, just didn't include the DACA program when they sued. You know, I think maybe they were afraid of political backlash because everybody keeps talking about how, oh, this is a program for children who were too young to know what was happening when they came here. The problem with that summary that we're constantly seeing in the media is, no, this program, this DACA program, it also applies to people who were teenagers, when they came to the United States. In other words, if you were 16 years old when your parents smuggled you up here illegally into Mexico, then this program applies to you. Remember, 16 is the age at which in the United States, in Virginia, you're given a driver's license because you're adult enough. You've spent 10 years in school learning to speak and write English. You're fluent in the language. You're fluent in the American culture. Why does anybody think it would be a hardship to send somebody who was 16, someone from Mexico, who was 16 when they came here, back to their home country that they grew up in?
The other question I would have, and I saw this in an article earlier this week, that the DACA recipients, you were just talking about this a bit, Hans, are mostly college kids, but one of the few credible studies that has been done by a study at Harvard University found that they're more than 22 years old. A lot of these folks are over 22 years old. Only about 20% graduated from or attended a four-year college. They say a significant share never went beyond high school. And so I guess my question is, when you're talking about these 800,000 or so DACA recipients, how many of these folks, and I'm going to sound incredibly harsh here, but how many of these folks are contributing members to society, and how many of them are accepting some sort of a social service, if you will, some sort of a social benefit from America?
Well, in fact, there have been a number of studies done about this and illegal aliens in general these days, and that study matches what the other studies have shown. The average illegal alien in this country these days doesn't have more than a 10th grade education. They are low-skilled, low-educated, and the cost to the American taxpayer in terms of benefits going out is enormous. I mean, one of the reasons that the DAPA program, the second program, the one that did apply to people who were adults when they came to the U.S., one of the reasons it was stopped by the federal courts was that the states, particularly Texas, were able to prove to the court that they were going to have to spend hundreds of millions of dollars, providing everything from health care benefits, because these people didn't have insurance, to all kinds of law enforcement costs. Listen, last year there was a report about how at least 1,500 DACA recipients had their qualification under the program revoked. Why? Because of their association with criminal gangs like MS-13. And, you know, MS-13 is teenagers.
Yeah, and they're also one of the most brutal gangs in the nation. They're a gang that other gangs are terrified of. So you bring up some very interesting points. One of the things from a political standpoint, I find it interesting because you've got President Trump who is, you know, again, threatening to end DACA, but he's sending it to Congress for them to deal with. And now you've got the likes of Paul Ryan and others who are upset that the president has done this. I think that the president seems to be asking Congress to make a decision one way or another, right? Because we know, just right, similarly to what happened with Obamacare, well, we know that there's some folks in Congress who they're complaining about this, but it's something that President Obama did and their hands are tied and there's nothing that they can do about this. It seems to me like this is the last thing that they want to deal with, because heading into a midterm election, they're going to have to make a decision one way or another on DACA. So if they decide, for example, to end it, well, then they've got a lot of folks that are more in the middle. They're going to be upset with this. But then if they choose not to end it, then they're going to have the wrath of Trump supporters as well. It's an interesting situation that Congress is going to find themselves in, because it seems to me, and I'm not sure if you can comment on this, but it seems like they're in a no-win situation.
Well, yeah, to some extent they are. Yeah, there's a lot of politics involved in this. But look, Republicans usually put forward that they really believe in the Constitution and the rule of law. And so they shouldn't be putting out all this criticism of the president for ending what is clearly an unconstitutional program. Yeah, this may be a political hot potato, but if they really believe in the rule of law, then they should be saying, yeah, the president should end this program. This is in our bailiwick. We're the ones who should decide what to do. Now, look, don't get me wrong. You know, if somebody really was a toddler, you know, 2 or 3 years old when they came over, yeah, that's something to consider. But, for example, remember, the DACA program applied, you could qualify for it when it was first put in 2012, up to the age of 31, okay? Mm. And I tell you this, if you're going to set up some kind of program to provide what is, in essence, amnesty for people who were 2 or 3 when they came over, if they're now an adult, then you need to change the rules to make sure that if they become a citizen, they can't then use chain migration to have their parents become citizens. Why? Because that means you would be rewarding the parents who came here illegally for bringing their children in.
Hans, always great to speak to you. Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation.